Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It seems like it's been a month of Sundays since I've been on here. I took a few days, weeks, to really think about it and seek where God want, the Creator want me to be and want me to do. And it appears as if this is where I'm supposed to be on the Sabbath. I have been attending the assembly, and what has been happening, it's been fantastic growth and confirmation. Well, I want to welcome you anyway. Welcome to the now Sabbath gathering. Our ministry here, our purpose, our focus, is more of a community-oriented ministry that emphasizes both the spiritual principles and their practical application in daily life. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We just thank you for what you have done and how we, who society has left us out, how we still know to call on you. And we call on you in times of need. We call on you in times of joy. We call on you to praise you. We call on you for protection. And I just thank you for the message that you've given me this day. And I have opened myself to you, and you speak through me so that you may enlighten people as to what's going on around them and why. In the name of Yahshua, your beloved son, amen. Today, our topic is the creator of your understanding. The creator of your understanding. And what brought this all about is these evangelical Christians who run around here playing God. They're playing, and I call it playing God instead of calling it Elohim, because they don't know Elohim. All they know is God. And God is a term that people use to apply to the one that they have created. Man has created. And I you say that I am talking out of my head. No, I'm not. Whenever I went to the Word made it clear to me. It made it clear in that it says, in the beginning, Elohim. Whenever you look at the Torah, when you look at any other version other than the English version, you begin to have a different attitude, a different perspective on what the Word is all about and who the Creator is. And in that he said, in the beginning, Elohim. Elohim is the plural noun for the Creator, name for the Creator. And that's the name that he charged us, that he gave himself. God can mean anything. Anything. It can mean my car. Anything I worship, anything I put before the one that created me. So today, if we take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, that's the foundation for the discussion. And it says, for you brethren, comma, for you brethren, who we're addressing? We're addressing the brethren. And the brethren or who? They are the believers. That's who he's addressing. He says, for you, comma, and remember, there was no punctuation when this was written. Man put the punctuation in here. It was written as one continuous sentence. And it goes, it says, brethren have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And whenever I read that, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. And when I read it, I wasn't exactly clear on what it was trying to tell me. Because whenever I look around, and yeah, I look at TV, and I'm not one of those that don't watch TV. I don't watch it all day. But I look at it to find out what is happening in the earth realm. And I look at what I see and see if it lines up with the word of Elohim. And if it doesn't, I know where it comes from. It comes from the enemy. And who's the enemy? Enemy is Satan, or the devil, or the dragon, of the serpent. We have to be clear. We have to identify sources, y'all. The source. And whenever I was confused, not really confused, but perplexed at how the evangelical Christian could be following and some of the stuff that came out comes out of their mouth. And I listened to the people who are running for office now. They're completely off the chain as far as my Bible, holy book, is concerned. A lot of what's coming out of their mouth doesn't line up with the word. That's why my topic is the creator of your understanding. It's obvious and clear that we have different creators. We have creator for those who are in authority. We have a creator for those who think that they're rich. We have a creator for those who think they're better than other people. And because of that, that's how they have gotten themselves out there. They are in a position now that they can't come back. Excuse me. Because whenever you look at the position that they are taking, they say that the one politician, we're going to vote for him or her because they are doing stuff for the Christian or for the evangelical Christian. They are putting people on the Supreme Court that will protect the Christian view. And you have people, now I know there's two churches were started, and I read an article last year out in Minnesota, white only. And I'm 78. I remember those signs as a little boy. Water fountain, white only. Bathroom, white only. You stop to go to a restaurant, white only. But yet these are Christians. Who are they worshiping? Who are they serving? And then I begin to ask the question. And one other question is, why do people feel that they have a need to take rights away from others based on their beliefs? And I pondered that for a moment or two. And I went back to when I was a kid. And then I went back to slavery. And I remember growing up, And there were certain things that in places we couldn't go. And that made me feel less than a human being. And whenever I look at all of this from a historical perspective, I'm beginning to see and understand that nothing has changed. Nothing. Just the terminology. There's lots of cover-up going on, went on. And I looked at things historically, and what did I see? I saw what was integration all about. And it troubled me at first. And then, after I thought about it, and I went to the Word, and the Word was clear. And that's why the Holy Spirit brought me to this scripture as a foundation for the discussion. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And when I read that, I went back to the Son, to the Creator Son. He says, there's two commandments, love the Creator with all your heart, mind, et cetera, et cetera. I'm paraphrasing because for the sake of time. And then he says you love your neighbor as yourself. And when I got there, I had to pause again. And that's in, for them to take away my rights, I don't deserve to do anything, and I don't deserve a vote. I don't deserve even to be human. My mind went back to history. And I said, now these people can say what they are saying because it is ingrained in them. I mean, they have no shame. I look at that governor of Florida. He gonna erase history. And history is his story. And so if we take a look at that, he has a right, his story. That's his version of history. His version of what happened. His version of the role that non-Caucasian played in this society, in this country. And I sit there and I look at how this is spreading like wildfire. And then I listen to one of the leaders say they're going to make this country a Christian nation. And then I listen to some of the other jargon, some of the other, and it's wow how they have taken the word out of context and they have created a image of the Creator and made it into an idol. Whenever you say that people, well, let's look at it this way. The Son saw the fig tree. There was two fig trees. He saw one fig tree and he cursed it and it died because he knew that tree was not producing fruit. And he didn't judge the tree. He looked at what the tree was not doing based on what it was supposed to do, It was supposed to produce fruit, figs, but it didn't. And the question was, what's the use of having it if it's not producing the fruit? So it withered and died. The other one, the vine dresser said, let him, give him time to work with it. And he didn't curse that one. And you know, I think about all of this. I think about the word. What does the word say about what's happening now? What does the word say? And whenever I look at it, and I look at what Yeshua said whenever he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And he didn't specify any particular race of people. And then he also said he destroyed the works of the devil. And let's just have a little conversation here now about the devil. Growing up as a little kid, I saw the devil as the image of the devil was he had on red neotards. He had a tail. He had pitchfork. And he had horns. Well, I never saw anything like that, so I never had an encounter with the devil, not realizing that that was one of his deceptive techniques. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And his weapon he uses is deception. He deceives you. And whenever I read that, I said, wow, all these people have gone through this, and they're going through deception. Do they not understand what is happening? Do they not understand who is causing this to be? Who is causing them to feel the way they feel? And it's interesting. Whenever you stop and line these behaviors, then what comes out of people's mouths is what's in their hearts. And if what's in their heart doesn't line up with the word, then what do we say? It's not of the Creator. And Yeshua said that what he said about the devil or Satan or whatever terminology you use to define him, he also said that when you read the word, you see it says that the devil is the father of lies. So I take exception to one thing that they have said. I'm not sure now whether it was CNN who started it or who right now, but the big lie. Well, the big lie didn't start with Donald J. Trump. The big lie started with Satan. And it started with him in the garden. Yeah, in Genesis. Read the book of Genesis. You see, what did he do? He deceived Adam and Eve into being disobedient. And he saved them with a lie. He said, surely, surely, you won't surely die. Whenever the Creator who they walk with, who in the heat of the day, who gave Adam the authority to do what? To name the animals. And as he named the animals, what happened? It was awesome. He had authority. He exercised that authority and named them all. Now, let's just take a moment here. Why can't we respect the rights of others to have a free will? But we don't. But what did this say? This says basically we do. That the Creator gave us free will. But we have people in this society, in the United States of America, who know better and is in the process of dictating to people what they can do and what they can't do. And I just, it's funny. Really funny. And as I was having a conversation about marriage. Now, all of a sudden, the slaves couldn't marry. They had to live together. They shacked. It was okay for them to shack up. Now, what do they say? Oh, if you shack up, you're going to hell. Think about all of this now. Who is interpreting and who is defining what it means to be married? When you look at the words, see what the word says about marriage. It's a monogamous relationship. People marry, they have girlfriend, they have boyfriend, they have same-sex marriage. They have all this stuff going on. But it's okay, they married. So they're not going to hell because they married. But my ancestors, that's why I was almost an atheist. Listen to what these so-called Christians were saying about my ancestors who didn't know. And they're saying it's okay for them because they didn't even see us as being human beings. There was one Anglican bishop who said we can't baptize slaves because if we baptize them, we're going to have to give them the same rights as we give everybody else has. What is that saying about their perception of who slaves are? I thought they were human beings. And whenever I look at what's happening now, I don't see any difference in what was happening then. I really don't. And I don't see any difference in what was happening when I was a child in the 50s. And how the dominant society treated the minority society, or the white society treated the black society. We were inferior, according to them. And even that, you hear that sometime now. Well, they don't know how or who to vote for. They can't determine. So, essence, why do they need to vote? You hear all kinds of stuff that people don't understand what they're saying. But it comes out of their mouth, and what comes out of your mouth? Well, again, paraphrasing what's in the book. It says what's in the heart comes out the mouth. Man, whenever you look at and listen to what people have written or what people are speaking, that's who those people are. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, as we used to say, to figure that out. I'm not even concerned anymore, because the Creator that I serve holds me accountable. And he has certain laws and constructs and commandments that I follow. And he disciplines. Whereas when I look at the Creator, the image of whatever that Creator is, that the dominant society believe in, and I have to shake my head. We have two different creators. One has accountability, other one has no accountability. And it goes against what the Word says. And it's okay. Some people don't feel they have to repent, that they don't have anything to repent for. Other people, they believe that when they have been disobedient, they disobeyed the Word. They fall down on their knees with their face to the ground and ask for repentance. Ask for forgiveness, rather. Confess. We're living in terrible times, but we're not fearful. I have no fear that the Creator I serve is not going to bring justice and victory on my behalf and on behalf of those who believe. It has nothing to do with color. Those of us who believe, we will be blessed. Blessed. I am going to open the mics and see if there's any comments that anyone would like to make along those lines about freedom, free will, and whether or not you feel that your free will has been taken away or it's being taken away. We have one person here. Because our format hasn't changed. The first 20 to 30 minutes is a message, and the next 15 minutes is question and answer. And that question and answer period could last longer. Caller, are you there?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I thank the bottom line. We shall all be one in Christ Jesus. And when you love the Lord, you're going to treat everybody with love in your heart. And that's the bottom line. I don't care what color you are, what background you come from, or whatever, you're going to love and treat everybody with love in your heart, because in God's sight, there's no color. And you can't go with wrong when you love the Lord. And That is the bottom line. Because when we don't love our, he said, how can you love the Lord whom you haven't never seen and hate your brother who you see every day? Now, I can't go along with wrong because of the color of a person's skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to back up the devil and know he's wrong, but I'm going to back him up because the color of his skin. And this person's not the color of my skin. We're going to have to love one another in order to serve God. And if you look, you know the fruit. That's how you know if a person serving God, because you know by the fruit you bear. Now, if I'm an orange tree, but I'm bearing apples, something's wrong with me. Just like you said about the fig tree. It wasn't bearing figs at the time. So Jesus cursed the tree, and it could never bear figs again. So now, if we're not the fruit, we're not any good. So now, backing somebody that's going around doing the wrong thing and spreading things that's not of God, I can't back that person. Because if I call myself a child of God, and I'm backing somebody that's spreading hate and all that, how in the world can I be a follower of God? You can't be a follower of God and backing somebody that's spreading hate and all this other kind of stuff. I don't care what color the person is. If you're a child of God, I'm not saying Christian, because a lot of people is saying they Christians now. But if you're a child of God, you cannot back wrong.
That's
you
right.
can't back wrong. I don't care how much money people got. You cannot back wrong doing. You have to back away from that. And you have to stand for what is right. I don't care who you are. But if you're serving God, and if you got the love of God in your heart, it's going to show. Because you're going to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You're going to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And it's going to show. But if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, if you got hatred, malice, envy, and all that stuff coming out of you, you are of the devil. And God is not in you. So it'll tell on you. I don't care how, if you're on TV preaching the word and doing all this stuff, but if you backing someone that's spreading hatred, envy, and malice, you can't be of God. Because it tells on you. Praise the Lord. That's all I have to say.
Okay. And one thing is, can we say that free will is part of the whole package that the Creator has placed in this earth?
Yes, that, free will.
That people, we don't need people playing God, trying to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. And we don't need people taking away our rights, our God-given rights. And if God has given us rights, they're ours. Yep.
They're ours. He doesn't make us serve him. He wants us to do it because we love him. He don't
make us
serve him. He gives us free will. So why do have the right to take it from us? That's not of God.
No, and those people who are doing that, they are into idolatry. Yes, I said it, and I stand by it based on the word.
Yes.
As written, not as interpreted, because the word says that we do not make an engraven image.
No.
And what some of the stuff that you hear coming out of the mouth of these people that have placed individuals up on pedestals and made them little gods, as opposed to going to the Creator and asking the Creator to intervene and bring about the changes. No, they want to go to man, woman, and get them to do it. And I say that in the end, I preached a sermon back in 92, and the title was that God's ultimate will shall prevail.
That's
that
right.
No matter what Satan does, or what man does, what is written, it will be. And happens is, yes, what happens lots of times, we define. We want to be the definer. That can't be true. This has to be this way. The Bible is clear. It shows that God, the Creator, can use whoever it chooses because they created. He created us.
He created us.
He knitted us together when we were in our mother's womb.
Yes, he did.
And a lot of people don't understand that image of a Creator.
Mm-hmm.
They have another image, and that is not biblical. I see we have another caller. Caller, you want to make a comment?
No.
All right. Well, now later, remember, sometimes later never comes.
And brother, the bottom line is God's will is going to be done. His will is going to be done. He's going to have the last word. Praise God.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he is. He's going to have the last word. Praise God. And the word says his word is already settled in heaven. I don't care what man say, God's word is already settled in heaven. And you can't change his word.
No. Caller, I see you just dialed in from error code 914. Well, you listen to us on the computer and you decide to call in and make a comment. All right. Well, your mic was open for your comment. So, and we are coming to a close of this segment. We are on from 6:30, and the first 20 to 30 minutes, the message is given. And this is our format. And then the next 15 minutes or so, we have questions and answers. So, if you don't have a question or comment even, we don't stifle any biblical base discussion. We're not interested in, so you know if you decide to call back, we're not interested in conspiracy theories. If it doesn't have some foundation in the word, as written, not as interpreted by someone else, the word today, it wasn't an interpreted word. It came out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And it's about free will. And it's about how we are not to be taking other people's rights from them, because we're supposed to show love to people. not take other people right based on what we believe. Because, see, if I did that, I never would have been a pastor. Because I grew up in a time whenever it was very, very conflictual. And I grew up in a time whenever hatred was just as rampant as it is then as it is now. The only difference between then and now, we have identified geographically, we say red states and blue states. Back then, it was different. It was white, non-white, or white and black, or white-only signs was all over the place. You could go to get you some water, and you had the state I grew up in, we had four systems. We had a school system for white children, school system for non-white, well, for black children, school system for the Indians, and school system for Croatans. That was four. And then you had three different water fountains, and you had three different restrooms. It was crazy. But that's the way society was organized back then. And I see nothing. I just see it's coming back to what it was, only it's a little bit more sophisticated in its return than it was then. Then it was just blatant. Now, I remember riding a bus. And if you went across state lines, you could go in a restaurant. But if you didn't go across state line, people of color had to go around back. I'll never forget that. And if you were going across state lines, you could go in the front and sit down in the restaurant in the front of me. And what does that say about the Creator? Next week, there will be a continuation of this topic, and we get more into scripture. Today, basically, is an introduction, and we will deal a little bit more, not a little bit, a big bit, in terms of what does the Word say, what does the Creator say about the situation that we are living in now. What does the situation say about politicians? What does the situation say about teachers? What does the situation say about preachers? What does the situation say about everyday living? We have to keep it real, y'all. Life's too short. Life is too short to be procrastinating. Well, don't have to worry about that. No. We are coming to the end of an era. I didn't say we were coming to the end of the world. I didn't say that because people have been saying that ever since the sun left. And it hasn't ended yet. But eras have ended. We're coming to the end of an era. Something is getting ready to change drastically. Not only in America, but on the earth, period. So, think about it. And come with your scripture. Come and let's have a talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's share. 6:30 on Crown Talking Drum Internet Radio. And your host, your messenger is Apostle W.J. Armstrong. And I want to thank you for tuning in. And may the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you as you go through the week. Yes. And be a blessing for somebody. Say something nice. Just smile. And be genuine with your smile. Somebody might just need a smile. Think about it. If you who you say you are, it comes natural. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
New features in the Weight Watchers app just dropped. About 50,000 in store
Mr. Short, I'm calling. Thank you. Mm-hmm.